This is the Nightcap with Tim Murray and Super Bowl champion Sean King on VSiN, the Sports Betting Network.
Hour two of the Nightcap here on VSiN. 10-10 is our score. 4 and change to go in what has been a pretty ugly Monday Night Football game. Look, we have been spoiled this year when it has come to primetime games. Last night was a slop fest at Santa Clara. I thought the under was the play last night.
I don't know how that game
went. I did take the Colts, so it took the Colts.
I had Colts money line.
I had both. And then I took the under while I was filling in yesterday for Dave Ross, who, by the way, think about this. Dave Ross, our friend, our colleague. So I filled in for him yesterday, which I was happy to do. Be a good teammate. You know, I had a great time with Wes. You know why I had to fill in for him? The guy went to USC Notre Dame. So not only am I filling in for him, he gets to go to like my happy place and watch Notre Dame beat USC.
Wow.
So I'm like, come on, man. He better bring me back something.
We're a team player, though. That's what team players
do. That's right.
Do. They sacrifice for their brothers or their sisters.
That's right.
Yeah. By the way, Tre'Quan Smith has had an awful game. The Saints are in field goal position. He just got called for offensive pass interference. Maybe a
yowzers
bad call, but again, he wasn't getting off the press. He had made no attempt to get open. He gave up at the top of the route. Like, he didn't even realize the ball was thrown to him. Like, I don't know what's going on with Tre'Quan Smith, but he needs to get it fixed.
Pretty much, when it comes to props tonight, unless you played Alvin Kamara, which many of you probably did, you are not doing so well. Because Alvin Kamara has 128 receiving yards. He has 10 receptions. So both of those go over. That was the only prop I played, was over 4.5 receptions for Alvin Kamara. He has 181 yards of total offense, does have a touchdown, 53 yards on the ground, so you're not there on rushing yards, but you are there on combined yardage. But everything else, you know, Alex Collins, 35 yards, Jameis Winston on the ground, he has 43, there you go, got that over. By the way, shout out to our guy, Brad Evans, as is...
That's a great invitation.
The sledgehammer came home. Patrick Mahomes over rushing yards. That came home yesterday. Paul Charchian went 2-for-1 on his player props. Yeah. Kenny's best bet. Yeah. That came home as a under, Friday night.
Arizona,
Washington. Brad Powers will join us at the top of the hour. Michigan, Northwestern under. So, you know, we have smart people come on the show.
We do.
Sean's favorite play, USF coming home.
That's right.
With ease. That was a great call because I had zippy opinion on, as we talk about, two bad teams. Yeah. But you knew it.
One team is trying to get better and close the season strong, and the other team is trying to get to the offseason. Temple is a bet against the rest of the year. I'm just telling you, they are awful. And they're not playing.
USF won by 20?
It ended up being something like
34-14.
Yeah, I think they rushed for 400 and some yards. Yeah, I mean, Temple's not even attempting to tackle people.
That was a great call. Absolutely, I should have tailed it. I didn't want to blindly tail your, but I should have.
Hey, by the way, shout out to the Ricky Bobbies. That's the name of my fantasy team. Yeah, we pulled out a win this week, and we played Kareem Hunt. We forgot to take him out of the lineup, so we were down a man. But the rest of our guys.
Are you really talking about your fantasy team in third person right now?
Yeah, the rest of our guys really stepped up.
I'm sure our viewers showed
a lot of toughness and resolve, and we appreciate that. Because you guys could have did like the Carolina Panthers and just laid down. By the way, how about Sam Darnold getting benched?
Yeah. Speaking of Temple, got to see P.J. Walker back out there.
We did.
You got to see some P.J. Walker in your days in the AAC. He could ball.
He beat us.
He could ball. So 10-10 is where we stand right now. Jameis Winston, 18 of 33, 209 yards. And now Brian Johnson in his first career NFL game is going to attempt a 42-yarder, and we've got offsides. And that's going to
give them a first down.
What are the Seahawks doing?
Oh, my God. You know, this is how NC State actually lost. Corey Durden, a transfer from Florida State, defensive lineman, jumps offsides on a field goal. So instead of Miami attempting a field goal, they got a first down inside the 10, end up scoring. NC State loses by one.
Yeah.
4-point swing.
Yeah.
It's huge.
Can't have that. But also, I don't know. I mean, I know it's 4th and 15, but you're down 4 with 4 minutes to go in the fourth quarter.
Yeah.
What are you doing?
Yeah.
Go for it.
So. Come on, Al Woods. I mean, you got to be kidding me.
And we don't have anything in this game.
I mean, how many times are they going to do that? Remember Thursday night?
By the way.
Hold on. Thursday night, the Giants and Washington football, and the guy jumps off. Yeah. Like, how many times are guys going to do this?
Important spread implications now, because now the Saints could score a touchdown.
Yeah, hopefully it's Alvin Kamara if they do.
So, by the way, you know, this game went off 6.
Oh, my God. 74 went in motion.
A lot of people, yeah, they're shifting offensive linemen now. Jameis is looking for one guy and one guy only. That's 41.
Nice throw.
And he, as he throws it.
Callaway with the toe tap. Now this works for me, because I want Kamara to score a touchdown.
Oh, Seahawk backers. If this is a 17-10 final, that is that's rough.
Catch.
That is rough.
Well, no. I mean, deserve it. I mean, when you score 10 points in an NFL game, you
miss two field goals.
Yeah, you presume that you're going to lose by more than 6.
I guess, yeah. But you have
no matter how it happens,
plus 6, and they're about to kick a field goal to go up 3. You're feeling good. I guess in theory, overtime could wreck you. No, it wouldn't. It would get you a push if you got it at the last second. So we'll see as Kamara bounces off. And
well, here's what I know: when I take a 6-point dog,
mm-hmm.
I don't go into that game thinking if they end up with 10 that we're going to cover.
That is true. Well, look, I took a 3.5-point dog, and my team scored 56. At home, and didn't cover.
But you were playing a juggernaut.
Yeah, okay.
And not only did I...
You and our guy Douglas Farmer.
I was going to say, not only did I...
Yeah, Banksy.
Scott Seidenberg had Wake Forest as one of his plays. Banksy had Wake Forest as one of his plays.
So that's my reason for liking Army.
Yeah, you just went against everybody. I mean...
I did.
So you took that Genius's Lonely thing and like ran with it. But see, you got to be a certified genius before you can do that.
Oh, my God. When's this football season going to end?
Have you got an acceptance letter?
From what?
It's a full process from the University of Genius.
Okay.
Yeah.
I got it at 3.5. The line moved in my direction and went off 3.
I submitted your stuff to admissions. They got you under evaluation, but maybe you hadn't crossed the threshold
yet. You worry about your South Florida guarantee over 4.5 wins.
Let me pull up that schedule. We got two.
Yeah.
Yeah, let me pull up the schedule. Hold on a second.
They might be a favorite this weekend.
I don't like them in that role, but we'll see what they're playing.
Third and goal right now, so the Seattle Seahawks +6 crowd might be feeling a little bit better, because the Saints really can't do anything offensively. So while we wait here, Sean.
Oh, yeah, absolutely. They have 2 wins left. Yeah. They'll beat 2.
You need 3.
I know. No, over 3.5.
Was it 3.5 or 4.5?
It's 3.5.
Oh, it was?
Yeah, it's 3.
I thought it was 4.5.
No, it's 3.5.
Okay.
And they already beat FAM. They beat Temple. They'll lose at East Carolina. They'll lose versus Houston. They'll lose versus Cincinnati. They'll win their last 2. They'll win at Tulane, at UCF.
Man.
Yep. They'll win those 2 games.
All right. I hope so. I hope so for you.
Yep.
For our show. Yeah, what a tricky week for East Carolina. Did you see they had a 5-hour delay? That game didn't end until...
They played Houston?
Yeah. Houston won in overtime.
Yeah, 31-24.
In that game.
I know a couple guys at Houston. They were like, the conversation during the delay was, we're going to build a new stadium with a retractable roof once we get this Big 12 money.
All right, big third and goal here, and Jameis is going to be sacked.
Oh, God.
So, these offenses have been
as a coach,
brutal.
When they rush 4 and you have 7 blocking and 3 of the 4 get to the quarterback, it's not good.
Yeah, so 2-minute warning in Seattle. All that offsides led to was an easier field goal attempt and a minute off the clock. So, we will see now. As the Seahawks come out to attempt this field goal, and the Seahawks +6 tickets out there are happy. They sweated a little bit, but they are feeling
okay. No, it's not over yet. He ain't made the field goal.
Well, I'm saying Seahawks +6.
This is how this is going to play out. He's going to make the field goal.
Uh-huh.
Seattle's going to drive down, kick a field goal to tie it. Saints are going to win by 6 in overtime. It's going to push for the people that got a bad number.
Mike, why are you going
to
do that, man?
And I really want somebody to explain to me why, if a team scores a touchdown at the end of regulation, they kick the extra point,
They still do. I thought they got rid of that rule.
No, I thought they do in regulation, but they don't in overtime.
I thought if someone's out there listening, I think they got rid of that. I think it's done.
Okay.
If you score with 0 seconds, I think you don't have to kick the extra
point. See, I thought in regulation it was kick the extra point. In overtime, it's done.
We'll have to get research on that one. Yeah. Yeah, they changed that rule. Yeah. So, by the way, we got a lot to get into.
You should always kick the extra point, by the way.
When it comes into why?
Because people are gambling. People are betting. Well, and there's a presumption.
If it's about integrity, but if it's honestly though, I as a gambler, I don't think you should, because if it's truly about you want the games to be as much integrity as possible, then you shouldn't have things that have no ramifications on the outcome of the game with 0 seconds.
Here's why, and I'm a former player and coach is saying this: when you make a decision on a game, there's a presumption that I will have an opportunity to add 1 point after all the touchdowns and potentially 2 points. So you shouldn't take that away from the people that are playing.
Yeah, but if you score a touchdown at the end of a game,
yeah, you should kick
and everyone's going crazy, we won. Well, hold on. Don't celebrate. Let's go out there, trot out the kicker, and let's do something meaningful.
100%.
Why?
Because people are playing. And it generates a lot of revenue, a lot of income. It's why people are watching. Don't think these TV...
People are not watching for extra points.
Yeah, but they're watching because a lot of people are wagering an all-time high
on the games. But if you want it to be feel like it is not fixated on gambling, no, you don't kick a goal.
It is.
Crazy.
He's wrong. I'm right. He said it earlier.
Yeah, you were right about one thing, not about this. It's the night cap here on BC.
This is the Nightcap on VSiN, the Sports Betting Network.
Saints D-line is wreaking havoc right now, and a timeout has been called for the Seahawks as they're about to face a 4th-and-20 or
so. That last sack, I don't know. Geno's got to quiet his feet down. He's got to find somewhere to deliver the ball.
4th-and-28 for the Seahawks at their own 10-yard line. And I'm telling you right now, pick six could be a real possibility here.
How much time's left?
A minute 10.
Yeah, see. Even if they don't get it, if you're Sean Payton, you got to play action pass touchdown.
Can't do that.
No, you got to know.
He knows you can't do that, though.
Yeah, your fans are betting with the team.
Well,
yeah. You win your bets for your fans. They come to more games. They support. They fly to away games. Like, teams got to start taking these things into
They account. Do. We talked about the article that Brett McMurphy wrote.
Absolutely.
About how many coaches know the point spread. So here we go. Minute 13 to go. 4th-and-28 for the Seahawks. Once again, if you played the total, you are, depending on which side you were on, if you played the under, you are in great shape. This puppy has been a dead under really the entire night. Closed 42 here at Circa and 41.5 at DraftKings. Didn't matter where you got it, you're good to go. And the under is going to hit. When it comes to the spread, you're just hoping that there's no pick six here or some silliness. Even a safety, you're good. But, there's
yeah.
As Aaron let us know in Circa Millions, it was five. Can we look? You're the official note taker.
I don't know if I wrote down.
Did you not write the Circa Millions?
I wrote them on the rundown, but I don't think I had enough space left.
Oh, man. Oh, no, that's last week's. Dang. I have to go check those.
If you'd have just listened to me, we'd have won all of them. I think we lost one that you were pushing. Not mistaken.
You didn't write them down, but yet you have blamed me
Well,
somehow.
Because I know I like the Titans and the
You
Colts.
Liked Washington.
Yeah, but you talked me out of that.
You said if I listen to you...
Gino, what are you doing?
Oh,
that's a pick six.
Oh, boy. Oh, man. Geno Smith just threw across his body.
Short of the first down by about
well short yards. Of the first down.
The linebacker dropped it.
And the linebacker, he was diving to make the play, though. But if he had had a step or more, he could have picked that one off and walked into the end zone. So a minute four to go. Seahawks have no timeouts. Sean Payton will come
actually,
out here.
That was an easy pick. I don't know why he jumped. He had it. And he could have got. He could have got.
Oh, he dropped it on the ground. He could have got back up and run it in. Ooh, man, that had a couple Seahawks backers have their hearts skip a beat there.
I gotta look up Geno. I gotta get Geno's cell. We gotta talk. bro, if you're gonna go down,
DeMario Davis had a step right there to make the pick.
I gotta call Geno. If you're gonna go down. Go down throwing the ball to Tyler Lockett. Like, there's no reason you should play four quarters with Tyler Lockett at receiver, and he ends up with two catches on three targets for 12 yards. Like, yeah. Again, that's bad coordinating. And that's bad quarterbacking.
He didn't target DK Metcalf.
Only like three targets,
until the fourth quarter after the touchdown in the first.
That's what I'm saying. Like,
yeah. Listen. Remember how we said that Geno Smith was going to make himself a lot of money? He has not.
But again, a lot of that to me is on the coordinator, too. Every time you look up, they're in three tight end sets. I mean, everything's condensed inside, like, this five-yard box. Like, hey, that's why you lose.
Yep. Ugly game, but a win goes to the Saints. 13-10, the final score. Under hits. Saints do cover. And the Seahawks 0-3 at home to start the season. You look at the NFC playoff picture right now, New Orleans Saints have the second wild card as of right now.
Yeah, that
in the NFC. You know, it is a pretty sizable drop-off, Sean, mm-hmm. after the top five teams in the NFC.
Yeah, and they're all elite, though.
Because you have Arizona, Tampa Bay, Green Bay, Dallas, and the Rams.
But all those teams only have one loss. They're elite.
And then you've got New Orleans at 4-2, Minnesota, Atlanta is 3-3, and they lose the tiebreaker to Minnesota as of right now through 7 weeks, whatever that means. Yeah, it is. I don't know, because we all assumed. Now, Russell Wilson gets hurt. San Francisco's all sorts of banged up. There was this assumption, Sean, that the NFC West would have maybe four teams in the playoffs. Well, two of them have two wins. So it's really going to be fascinating to see the final two wild cards, because you could see Minnesota, you could see New Orleans, you could see Atlanta. Chicago's not that far out. They looked horrible.
Let me ask you a question. What did I tell you is the worst division in football?
NFC East.
Thank God for the Detroit Lions. Otherwise, because the NFC East right now, Washington, Philly, and the Giants, the only team they're ahead of in the playoff hunt is the Lions.
The AFC South's worse.
Yeah.
The AFC South is Miami, Houston.
And the Jets, right?
I mean, Indianapolis, no, the Jets are in
Jacksonville.
Yeah, it's Jacksonville and Houston, and then Indianapolis. Actually looked all right last night.
I told you.
In the slop.
What did I tell you about Indianapolis? What did I tell you? What did I say they're doing inside the locker room?
It was on my bankroll. Why?
No, I'm not talking about just this game. I'm saying overall.
Yeah.
Like, they feel like.
I like them.
Yeah.
I like Tennessee,
like
too.
A playoff team.
I mean, Tennessee right now.
I would ride with Indy moving forward.
I would, too. They got this weekend. They're a favorite this weekend.
How about how good is Jonathan Taylor?
He's a beast.
Oh, my God. He's got some great feet.
By the way, right now, depending on where you look, here at Circa, Tennessee's minus a point and a half. At our good friends at the South Point, it's a pick between Tennessee and Indianapolis. DraftKings also sitting at Tennessee minus a point and a half. I think this is a spot, Sean, to play Indianapolis. I think this is a sell-high spot. You can't get the stock price higher on Tennessee.
What's the total?
It is 48.
Over. Over's the
play. Sorry, 49.
Yeah, over's the play. Anything that was under 50, I was going to say over.
By the way, if you want Indianapolis right now in a teaser, do it, because that line's going to move. You could get Indianapolis plus 7.5 at home in a teaser.
And this is right at now. Indy, right? Because Tennessee's already beat them.
They already beat them once.
Yeah.
And think about,
I take the over. Both offenses are rolling.
Think about the importance of this game, Sean, for Indianapolis. This is a desperate spot.
Especially as far as winning the South.
You're two games back in the division, and you've already lost head-to-head. So not only would you be three games back? You would have been swept by Tennessee. This game is desperate. I think Indianapolis wins this game.
I think they have a shot, but again, I think it'll be a high-scoring game either way. I take the over and not worry about who wins. Because Tennessee's not just Derrick Henry anymore. When Julio Jones is healthy, you see how potent they are pushing the ball down the field. Because A.J. Brown and Julio are big bodies that run good routes, that really have great football IQs. Very difficult to defend that when those safeties' eyes have to be in the backfield because of the threat of Derrick Henry.
So let me ask you this, and we can spill this over into the next segment. Who wins the AFC? The Bills are a massive favorite, and I think there's zero value in that at 2-1. I mean, I would think there's still – if odds didn't exist, Sean, I would say, yeah, I'd probably pick Buffalo.
What are the odds? Do we have the odds to win the AFC?
Bills are 2-1. Ravens 6-1. Chiefs are 650. Good luck with that. Tennessee 8-1. Chargers 8-1. Cleveland 12-1. Your current number one seed, the Cincinnati Bengals, 16-1. Raiders 22-1. They're the leaders in the AFC West at this point in time. And then the Colts 28-1.
So here's how I view these kind of. This is considered a futures bet.
Yeah, it's a futures bet.
Because I think there's so much parity on that side, I take Raiders, Bengals, Browns. Because I'm getting the best odds. I just don't think the Chargers are good enough on defense.
You would take the Browns with your questions at quarterback?
Absolutely. Because I think when they're healthy, and eventually they're going to get healthy.
Even with Baker, though. They're going to go back to Baker.
Which is fine. But when they're healthy, their run game hides Baker.
That's true.
It really does.
I mean, Darnus Johnson was unbelievable and. You know, they're going to have an interesting situation on their hands because I feel like you have to keep him
involved. Well, the good thing is Kareem's out for a while.
Right.
So he's going to be the second guy with Chubb.
Or Chubb, excuse me.
Yeah, so I mean, but again, like, I don't think the Bills are light years ahead of the Ravens.
I don't either.
I don't think the one team I would not touch, and I still can't believe they're that high, Kansas City Chiefs are not making the playoffs.
The only reason they're that high is liability. Yeah.
Forget winning the AFC. They're not making the playoffs. Listen, Patrick Mahomes has this God complex that he's accumulated over the last couple of years because he is a unicorn from a talent standpoint. And he's gotten so comfortable doing things the wrong way, and now it's starting to catch up with him. Because now all those balls that he was throwing into coverage that either they were catching or they were getting deflected or were hitting the ground, they're all getting picked now.
Well, I might have something that interests you on the other side of this break. The New Orleans Saints beat the Seattle Seahawks. 13-10 under, shockingly, comes home with ease, but you took the points with the Seahawks. You got the cover. It is the Nightcap here on VSiN. That's Sean King. I'm Tim Murray. Come on back.
This is the Nightcap on VSiN, the Sports Betting Network.
Make this football season your best sports betting season ever. Start your VSiN free trial today to get full access to our sports betting experts, including 24/7 video streaming, daily best bet emails, betting splits with the money and ticket percentages on every game, plus full access to VSiN.com data and analysis. You get everything VSiN has to offer for only $22 a month. Sign up. Head over to VSiN.com/subscribe. It is the Nightcap here on VSiN. That is Sean King. I'm Tim Murray, live from the Circus Sportsbook. The Saints win on the road 13-10 to close out week 7 of the NFL season. What was a pretty kind of, look, I have vowed never to complain about a full slate of football, but overall, this weekend was not the most exciting. We had the sweat there a little bit. We thought the Lions with Dan Campbell turning into a 14-year-old on a sugar high playing Madden. He had two fake punts, onsides kick. Ultimately, wasn't enough. Rams win. Lions cover.
Rams almost lost.
Yeah, almost. Like, yeah, won by 9. Yeah,
the Lions just couldn't get out of their own way.
Yeah, I mean,
when it mattered.
Well, yeah, that's what happens when Jared Goff's your quarterback.
How about the Texans going up 5-0 and losing 31-5?
People who laid the lumber, that number steamed up to 20.
20. And they covered easily.
And they covered.
Easily.
It was 5-0. We're thinking, oh, man.
And for some reason, people were believing in Davis Mills.
That team stinks, man. It's not his fault.
Soon as Tyrod's back at practice.
And he's going to be the starter, David Culley said.
I will take the Texans when Tyrod's back.
That team stinks.
Let's see.
That team is.
Rams are coming to the Texans. Rams are favored by 14.5. I'm telling you right now, take the Texans.
That team is awful. Davis Mills isn't the reason they're losing. And you're going to bet on this bad team? They are the worst.
First of all, he threw for 132 yards on 32 attempts. That's not good.
Who is he throwing to? Who's blocking?
Okay, we'll see.
I'm just saying.
We'll see.
I was with you on Jacksonville week one. I agreed.
We'll see, Tyrod. Let's go, TT.
I hope. I mean,
it's all about the quarterback.
I'm just saying, Davis Mills, it's not fair.
Have you ever been to a Baptist church?
It's not fair to evaluate him. I have.
Okay, so you know they have like a choir director. Like when the choir gets ready to give you a selection, that director gets up there and there's leadership, there's confidence. Like even the people in the choir that can't sing, like they're like, oh, I got this. That's what a great quarterback does for your football team.
So Tyrod Taylor is now a great quarterback.
Compared to Davis Mills, look, he's the next coming of Ricky Bobby himself.
Okie dokie, Smokey.
Yeah.
You believe that. He deserves a shot. I feel bad for him. He keeps getting injured. But
sometimes you got to trust me and ride with it. Take the Texans plus the 14.5.
All right. You can do that, and I won't. And if you win, congrats.
Thanks.
Because they stink. But, you know, sometimes bad teams do get covers, so we'll see.
Also, you better lock in the Arizona Cardinals -6. Because I think that line is going to keep going up.
Yeah, let's get to that game right now.
Yeah.
Because what a unfortunate circumstance for the Green Bay Packers. Davante Adams today has been placed in COVID protocols. He is vaccinated, so if he does test negative tomorrow and on Wednesday, he would be eligible to play, but the likelihood of that is obviously low.
But there's no risk to taking the 6. Because if he does play, it's going to stay at 6.
No.
It won't drop much more than that.
It opened 3.5.
Right.
And when the news came out, it went to 6.
Right.
So it would go back.
It's not going back 3.5.
It would probably go back to 4.5 or 4.
Listen, trust me, guys. Take the 6. The way Arizona's playing right now, no one's beating them. But this is how big of a loss this is for Davante Adams, for the Packers. Davante Adams has 52 catches.
No, he's awesome.
The next receiver, which is a running back, has 26.
I mean, and it's not just Davante Adams. I mean, they've been dealing.
Hold on.
Green Bay's been dealing with
their
ton.
Next receiver has 15 catches.
Yeah. They do get Marquez Valdes-Scantling back.
That's
week.
My guy. Marquez
MVS is
super talented, but he's not.
He's not Davante Adams.
No, thank you.
And there is obviously a comfort level there.
They are getting after the quarterback in Arizona.
And David Bakhtiari still out.
And where's the game?
Arizona.
Yes. It'll be rocking.
We were thinking about going.
No, you were thinking about going.
I mean, I thought that the former Arizona Cardinal quarterback
would go. We're going to the Monday night game.
Combined 13-1 records.
We're going to go to the Monday night game.
When is that?
December something.
13th or something like
that? Yep. Get the 6.
All right. Yeah. You can get a 5.5 if you want.
I'm also going to put another wager in on Cardinals going undefeated the regular season.
Okay.
They stay healthy, they won't lose.
A lot of trust in Cliff Kingsbury.
Well, I trust more in that guy with #1 on his jersey.
He's pretty good.
Yeah.
He's pretty good.
And by the way, that's the league MVP.
He's because the favorite. He's the favorite right now.
Even if they go 15-2 or better, you can't not give him league MVP.
I agree.
Because Arizona had no expectations that even remotely resembled winning the NFC West. Forget being the #1 seed in the NFC. There's not a pundit anywhere outside of somebody that's a diehard Cardinals fan that picked the Cardinals to win their division.
Actually,
this was all about
our guy,
the Rams.
Jared Smith did, I think. I
mean, we might have a couple.
Yeah.
But very few.
Yeah, I agree.
Everybody was on Stafford and the Rams. And if they weren't on Stafford and the Rams, they were on Kyle Shanahan and the 49ers.
For sure.
And if they weren't on the 49ers, they were on Russell Wilson, Pete Carroll, and the Seahawks. No one was on Cliff Kingsbury and Kyler Murray and the Cardinals to win the NFC West. Not only are they most likely going to win the NFCS if they continue with the performances that they're presenting us with, they're going to be number one seed in the NFC.
Yeah. They absolutely
and if he will. Does that, because he'll be a large reason why. Like, think about what he's had to overcome. Going to Cleveland, no Chandler Jones, no Cliff Kingsbury. Opening the season at Tennessee, no matter what anybody says, that's a darn good win.
Mm-hmm.
When you look at how Tennessee is playing.
They're 5-2.
Yes, going to SoFi, beating the Rams.
That was a great win.
Just they've got they're not this there's not like a soft 7-0. You know, it's not like they're sitting there and they've beaten Jacksonville and Miami and Houston.
Oh, they did beat Houston.
And Detroit. But I'm saying, like, those are their only wins.
No, I know.
Yeah, come on. And not only did they beat Houston, they covered. Good teams win, great teams cover. Never forget that.
I know. I told you that. Kyler Murray. No.
Oh.
Kyler Murray plus 450 right now at DraftKings to win.
I don't know how he does it. I don't know how he doesn't win it. I mean, when you look at the schedule, I mean.
Yeah, the schedule with the situation with Devontae Adams being out. And, you know, you can go back.
So watch. Just walk through it.
Yep.
The Green Bay probably without Devontae Adams.
So you're about to do what you told me but you never do in the NFL.
I said don't do it before the season. I said because, okay, watch. And here's my point. Did I not say that?
I know.
I said don't do it before the season because before the season you were looking at San Francisco and Seattle as, like, unbelievably tough stops.
Mm-hmm.
But now there's no Russell Wilson. San Francisco's in shambles. Their whole backfield is hurt. Yeah. Even though Eli Mitchell played good,
they only
have one passing option without George Kittle's being available, and that's Deebo. So, like, that's what I mean by be careful before the season, you know, picking teams. But, I mean, look, they got Green Bay, San Francisco, Carolina stinks, Seattle, then a bye. They come off the bye, they go Chicago. The Rams game is going to be tough, but then they got Detroit. I think the Indy game, I think that Indy-Dallas stretch will make or break them as far as going undefeated. Like, their schedule, they're not going to play a better team.
You're glossing over the Rams in Week 14.
No, I said that was going to be a tough game.
Yeah.
Yeah, but it's in Arizona.
It is.
And it'll be rocking.
I mean, his former Arizona Cardinals quarterback will be there with
his
nightcap co-host.
And let me ask you this. I want to make sure that I'm saying this right. What is the Rams' significant road win so far? Through no fault of their own. They got Indy when Indy was bad. But their big wins have been at home. Like that Seattle win, the Giants win. Like, they got Houston and San Francisco. Like, they're not playing a difficult road schedule just the way it fell.
Still, though, you beat the Buccaneers in the fashion that
SoFi.
I understand, but don't pretend like SoFi is some great home field advantage.
But when you have a quarterback, in my opinion, that's not really competed on the biggest platform, the biggest stage in Matthew Stafford.
Kyler Murray hasn't either.
But, again, if you let me finish. Being at home means that I can go, hey, check, 98 Bunch Crunch, easy, feel pressure, let's go opposite. You can communicate a lot better than when you get on the road and it's hard to hear. And the snap count, I'm slapping my hands, the center can't hear me.
Are we really going to say that the University of Phoenix Stadium is that daunting of a home field environment?
An undefeated Cardinals team that Monday
night in December?
It'll
be good, but it's not going to be... You know, Seattle in December when they were at the peak.
Every small advantage matters.
I agree.
Yeah.
But I would not gloat over the Rams.
I wasn't gloating over them.
The Cardinals are really, really good.
Yes, they are.
Ain't going undefeated.
Kyler Murray for MVP.
That is actually, I don't oppose that whatsoever. It's the nightcap here on VSiN.
This is the Nightcap on VSiN, the Sports Betting Network.
Indeed helps find great hires fast. Indeed is your all-in-one platform for interviewing, screening, hiring high-quality people. Visit Indeed.com/credit. I mean, at this point, Sean, I'm just going to – I always introduce you as, you know, Tampa Bay Buccaneer, but, I mean, the way that you're speaking about former Arizona Cardinals quarterback.
We'll get back to the Bucs.
Sean King.
Yeah, let's go. Let's go.
I mean, Arizona. By the way, you're the team that you started for, won a playoff game with. They won, you know, 38-3.
They're in my doghouse.
Explain. You are sensitive.
Listen. I let them go after being up 28-7 versus the Eagles and losing the cover. I think it was 28-7 in that game. They lost the cover. I was like, okay, you know, I can't hold a grudge off of one game. I took the over yesterday in the Bucs game at 47. Oof. The halftime score was 35-3. So that means
I was aware.
9 points. For the game to go over in the second half. And there was a whopping 3 scored. Tampa got down to the goal line twice, got cute, did not score either time. So they're in my doghouse. And they're just joking around and giggling like it's all good. And, oh, you know, the guy gave the ball back. I wouldn't have gave the ball back. And then I would have did the post-game presser. Well, do you plan on giving the ball back? No, I had the over in the game. They're in my doghouse. It is what it is. Like I tell you, good teams win, great teams cover.
They did cover.
No, they didn't.
Yes, they did.
They're supposed to go over 47.
Why? Their defense.
Did they play offense in the second half?
Well, let me ask you a question. Did they go over their team total?
I don't care.
Yes.
It didn't matter. And by the way.
Why are you not mad at Matt Nagy? They're not in your doghouse?
I'm not mad at Matt Nagy.
And Justin Fields.
Who owns the Bears?
I don't know.
It's their
Tom
fault.
Brady?
Yeah, their fault.
Aaron Rodgers.
I mean, there's no way the owner can look at this and not go ahead and make this move. Like the worst thing about
it's done.
What I'm seeing from the Bears is they've given up. I mean, they were down 35-3.
No, the defense didn't. Thank you. By the way, you know what I did yesterday?
Can I finish my sentence?
No.
Yes. Thank you. They're down 35-3 and they're in 4-minute offense basically at the fourth quarter. I mean, they're huddling up. There's no sense of urgency. It's not like, okay, let's work on, you know, our 2-minute package. You know, let's get some momentum going into next week's game. It's just everybody's got bad body language. Everybody's looking to the sideline. Oh, poor us. Like, as an owner, that would drive me insane.
It's funny. I don't know how Matt Nagy keeps his job next year. I know you've got a rookie quarterback, but.
And Justin Fields, your body language stinks.
Yeah.
Like, you've got to get it. Like, you have to watch as a quarterback your games and look at your own energy, body language, because it's infectious from a good and bad perspective. And I don't know who would want to play with Justin Fields the way his body language is during the game. I just I don't know a player that would say, oh, I want that to be my quarterback. He has to get that fix. I mean, he has to find a way to get that fixed. It's not college. These are men. This is professional sports. Like, his energy, it's bad. I mean, it's bad. He's walking off the field, walking on the field. I mean, there's always this look of disgust on his face. Like, you know, they're not pass protecting for me. I don't like the play calls. Like, the guys aren't getting open. Like, that has to change. Like, if I coach him, that'd be the first thing we talk about. Because that's something we can control. We got to control the controllables. Like, we've got to control the controllables.
Well,
but if you're the owner, I don't know why Matt Nagy is still the head coach.
But I was told by someone that the game was slow to him.
He said that after the preseason game.
Yeah, that was and you said right away that was a poor choice.
Absolutely,
because it's the preseason. No one schemes for you in the preseason. But yeah, I mean, you look at the NFC and the Cardinals are playing phenomenal football. The Rams are 6-1. Mm-hmm. The Buccaneers obliterated the Bears.
And what's crazy?
I took 4 in the second half last yesterday with the Bears.
Wow.
And they didn't score, but I got the cover.
Like, what a terrible bet, and you cashed a ticket. And then I had a great bet and didn't cash.
Yeah, sure, that makes sense.
Like, what in the world did you see in the first half with their offense that made you think +4 was enough?
I thought that the Buccaneers wouldn't score enough. and they didn't. So it was a good bet because it
won. Yeah, they got, they went for it on fourth down on the goal line twice.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
I'm sorry. I won my bet. Did you win your bet on this game?
Yeah.
No, you didn't. Did you cash your ticket?
No.
Did you go to the counter?
I misspoke. I did not win my bet. Mm. I did not cash a ticket. You did.
Thank you.
But again, if you actually watched the first half of that game,
I watched the whole thing.
I wasn't sure what Chicago was going to do.
I thought maybe they could score like 3 points. Yeah. But hey, I just needed the Buccaneers. They didn't score. But a team that did score a bunch yesterday, I took them.
Pats.
Was Cincinnati.
Yeah.
How about the Cincinnati Bengals? Right now, your top seed in the AFC West, Joe Burrow is balling out. They go into Baltimore. This is another situation of selling at the ultimate height of the market on a team like Baltimore. And Cincinnati, man, Joe Burrow, 416 through the air. Ja'Marr Chase goes for 201. He is now plus 120. To win Offensive Rookie of the Year.
Yeah.
Plus 120.
They're playing good ball.
How much do you
It's believe? A lot of people with futures tickets that are really happy because the top three seeds in the AFC right now are Cincinnati, Las Vegas, and Tennessee.
Yeah, how about that?
Man. That's why they play the games.
Is Cincinnati, though, from what you've seen?
Are they for real?
Yeah, are they for real? I guess I don't know. They're moving in the right direction. People were crushing Zach Taylor. You know, he's not the right coach. They'll go get Joe Brady, yada, yada, yada. Well, now they're 5-2. They just smashed the Baltimore Ravens. And Joe Burrow looks tremendous. Ja'Marr Chase is, as mentioned, the favorite to win Rookie of the Year.
They get the Jets next week, so they'll beat them. Then they have Cleveland at home.
Ooh, that'll be a good one.
Depending on Cleveland's health situation. But, I mean, if you give me a young team, especially the offensive side of the ball, I like what they're doing. Joe Burrow, Ja'Marr Chase, Joe Mixon. Like, you give me a threesome that blows them out of the water. You have an elite running back, not a lot of people have that, an elite wide receiver, even though Jamar's young, he's showing
all
of the characteristics and traits of being elite. Now, he has to add 3-4 years of doing it, which he can't do until he gets there, but he's looking like they made the right selection, even though I thought they should have went Penei Sewell. And Joe Burrow is doing all this coming off of tearing the ACL last year. So it makes what he's doing even more impressive. I mean, people were trying to fire Zach Taylor before the season, right? He's feeling pretty good about himself.
So when you look at the AFC right now, Sean, you've got the Kansas City Chiefs are a disaster. Yeah,
they're not making the playoffs.
Defensively. So that's what I was going to bring up.
Yeah.
Right now at DraftKings, to not make the playoffs, the no is plus 155 for the Chiefs. Not enough.
Because I know they're not going to make it, so. You know, unless I can parlay it with something else.
But if you're confident that they're not going to make it, why wouldn't you play it?
You could, but I'm just saying, like, to tie that up for how long, you know, just feel like.
It's like playing a win total. It's actually better than playing a win total. They don't people play win like I played 3 win totals this year. Washington was plus 110 to the under, which is nice. But yeah, you're getting plus 155. It's not tied up that long. It's a little over 2 months, if you believe that to be true. I mean, I guess you could just bet against them a lot.
Yeah, I mean, I feel like that's
as we learned from your futures before the season started. You're not a big futures guy.
Yeah, I'm not. I just feel like. You know, let's just say you're going to put $100 on something.
Right.
Like at plus 150. So you're going to make 150 off. And I'm just using like a round number.
Sure.
But you got to wait 2 months to do it. You know, like I feel like the Chiefs are going to be favored in the game soon if they shouldn't.
Oh, of course.
You know, so just bet the underdog money line 100. If they win, you know, you can pick it up right then.
Yeah, but the Chiefs could also mess around and win that game.
They could. They could mess around and make the playoffs.
That is true.
But I don't think it's going to happen.
I mean, that defense is so tragic. And then you look at Patrick Mahomes. I mean, I don't know what's going on with Patrick Mahomes.
I told you, he's got a God complex. He has to have a strong look in the mirror. I said this during the Washington game. He's become so accustomed to being able to do things that are not fundamentally sound. It's starting to catch up with him now. Because all those bad balls that he was forcing that were getting deflected, tipped, falling on the ground, now they're finding people's hands. You know, the first option is there, him moving in the pocket, trying to create a big play downfield, he's getting sacked. you know, some of those decisions and that lack of fundamental soundness is starting to catch up.
Got some huge college football games this weekend. Never too early to start looking at the board. Michigan, Michigan State, Ohio State, Penn State. Brad Powers joins us, as he does every Monday, top of the hour. Stick around for that. That's Sean. I'm Tim. It's the Nightcap.